Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, April 27th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Let Tim host. Happy birthday, Greg Miller, and oh my God, what a Monday, Bless. We're what waking up day. To some good news just raining all over us, man.
Oh, we man, were there, Bless. Rain.
It was me and you when the news
It was me and you.
In. The bad news, the dark ages, they're over, though. They're over, man.
They're over.
Good news, though, is only ahead.
It's weird how these things come full circle, because I was thinking about that right before the show started, right? I was putting together the doc, and I was like, man, it was me and Tim toward mm-hmm. the end of a KFGD, like, about a month ago now, where the Last of Us 2 delay news came in, and me and you were both, like, indefinite delay. Me and you were both, like we're both shocked. Like, mm-hmm. we expected a delay, but I think the news still hit us in a way where it was like, oh, snap, like, it's really happening. And then, yeah, that indefinite word put on it really puts... It really made things kind of heavy in a way where we're just like, I don't know how to react to this. This is crazy.
But I know how to react to this news.
When the sun goes down, Tim, the sun always comes back up. I think
that's what they say.
I definitely did just make that up just now. Of course, if you're listening, then you probably know that today's stories include Last of Us 2 being leaked, Last of Us 2 receiving a new release date, and WWE 2K Battlegrounds, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Now it's time for some housekeeping, but before housekeeping, actually, Tim, how are you doing? How's your weekend?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It was a great weekend. I felt like I got a lot done, you know? We've been just here. I've been playing some games. I've just been, you know, we're playing a little bit of that Predator. That was a lot of fun.
That was a real good time.
We did a stream on Friday for that, sponsored by PlayStation and Ophonic. You can go check that out now on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. We got a whole video there. We got more streams to come. But yeah, that was probably the most fun I've had playing video games with people in a long time.
Oh my God, dude. I since then, I've been playing Predator all weekend. And people can hear more about that on PS Love UXOXO, because we're going to do a whole Predator review. It's going to be me, it's going to be Greg, and I believe we might be even bringing on some special guests for that.
By
special guests, I mean Nick and Andy.
I love it.
Stay tuned for that. But yeah, that's happening. Of course, to get back to housekeeping, of course, Google Stadia Connect is happening tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and we're reacting to it live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. It's gonna be me, it's gonna be Tim, it's gonna be Greg. And yeah, these Google Stadia Connects only happen once in a blue moon, and so we figured it's worth it to see what it's about.
It is like, I don't know if it's possible for me to be excited for this based on the previous track record of what these usually entail, but at this point I'm just kind of itching for some game news. Like, I'm ready to see some announcements, even if they're for things that I like, Stadia, which some that I don't particularly care too much about. But I want to get back in that rhythm of companies feeling like they can announce things again, you know, like that.
Yes.
We need to get the train a chugging.
I feel like for and we're going to talk about it more, because this is actually a news item. But like, I feel like for Stadia, right, this is for this to be happening early, I guess we're in late April. Yeah, because this is happening the 28th. So, yeah, for us to be in late April going into May, right, like E3 season is right around the corner. Is this kind of what their E3 presence would have been like?
I'm sure. Let's save it for when we get into there.
But because there's a conversation we had there, but we're gonna be reacting to it live with you guys tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Stay tuned for that. Also tomorrow, it's our second sponsored Predator Hunting Ground stream. Tuesday at 2 p.m. Kinda Funny is going to be hunting down the one, the only, the Predator, Al Tribesman, on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames.
I love that. That's great.
It's great. I'm really excited for that one. We have a Disneyland video that's live now. Tim, do you want to talk about what that is?
Yeah, so last weekend, the nanobiologist himself invited me over for his Twitch stream, where he had a great idea to go visit Disneyland. It was me, Belinda, Josh Silverman, and Alyssa and him. And all of us were just checking out, going on all the different Disneyland rides using Disneyland Adventures on the Xbox. But every time we got to a ride, we switched to a YouTube point of view video of the ride. It's a lot of just hanging out at Disneyland, because none of us can actually go now during the whole quarantine times. So that video is now live on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. You can check it out. It was a lot of fun. It's like 3 hours of just hanging out with friends, man. So it's a good time. And if you like Disney at all, highly recommend giving the video a shot.
Yeah, I tuned in for a split second when you guys were streaming live, and I was like, yeah, this is like a pretty good time. This is a pretty cool idea. And so I definitely recommend people go check that out to see what that's about. Today is Greg's birthday. Happy birthday, Greg Miller.
Happy tweet birthday, at Game Over Greggy. 37. That's
37.
Crazy.
37.
That's like,
yeah,
it's like 17 years more than I would have expected out of Greg Miller, you know? Staying alive and healthy somehow.
Nah, I love it. Everyone, go send some sweet, nasty love to at Game Over Greggy on Twitter, on Instagram, anywhere you can find him. He is one of the greatest forces of positivity I've ever met.
And 100%.
He deserves some positive information back. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Some of that positive feedback right back at him. Make sure to tweet at him. Let him know that you appreciate him. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad, Al Tribesman, and Black Shack. Today, we're brought to you by Old Spice. So I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
It's time for some news. We have six stories today. A Baker's
Dozen! Damn, Kev. Jesus.
Christ almighty.
He has too much energy today.
I thought I'd change it up. Sorry, guys.
No, let's scratch that one from there.
All right.
I wonder what the comments are going to be on this one.
It's going to be out of my ears.
Oh, man. Yo, yeah, if you weren't awake before, you're awake now. Starting with number one, The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima have received new dates. I'm pulling this from a blog post over on the PS blog. This is written by Herman Holst, the head of Worldwide Studios over there at Sony Interactive Entertainment. Herman writes, as our teams at Sony Interactive Entertainment and Worldwide Studios approach development milestones and confront a world changed by COVID-19, we find ourselves having to adapt to today's ever-changing environment. Amidst some disruptions to our working styles, we wanted to provide an update to PlayStation gamers who are eager to learn when our next exclusive titles will arrive on PS4. As we begin to see an ease in the global distribution environment, I am pleased to confirm that The Last of Us Part 2 will arrive on June 19th, and Ghost of Tsushima will follow on July 17th.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. I want to personally congratulate and thank both teams at Naughty Dog and Sucker Punch Productions on their achievements. As we know, it's not an easy feat to reach the finish line under these circumstances. Both teams have worked hard to deliver world-class experiences, and we can't wait to see what you think of them when they release in just a few short months. And finally, I want to thank the PlayStation community for the continuous support and patience. Tim, we did it. Last was part two is coming out.
I know what we did, but I'm happy we did.
I don't know what we did, but
the order we did to make this all happen. Dude, what to me, perfect release dates. This is such good news for a multitude of reasons, least of which we get to play these games. There was a fear that I legitimately had that Final Fantasy VII Remake was going to be the last major game that we got for months. And that's not the case anymore. We now know that we got two of the biggest games of the year coming month after month. Like, that's given us something like very fun to look forward to, with some like real meaty quality gaming experiences coming in. Like, within 2 months, we're getting one, we're getting the other back to back. That sounds like a perfect amount of time. It's not going to be like Resident Evil 3 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake. We have to like rush through it week to week just to get through that stretch that we had from like March 20th to Final Fantasy, right? That's nice. It's like a perfect little drop in the breadcrumbs. But on top of that, this is way sooner than I expected from the corona standpoint, all of the delays and all of that stuff of them trying to figure out, like, because we all know the reason is they can't make enough physical copies of this game to justify putting it out, because we know it's going to sell millions in its first couple days. You need to make sure that you have those copies available to be bought, or else you're just putting your product out to die, and you can't do that for a product as big as Last of Us. So to me, what this is telling me is the world is starting to catch up and starting to figure out solutions to the video game world. I mean,
Tim, Amiad Fredman writes in and says, "Rejoice, PlayStation fans. The Last of Us 2 has a new release date. Unfortunately for me, it is also my wife and my anniversary. This is a decision on par with the hard choice Joel had to make at Last of Us 1. Okay, maybe not. Mine is way harder. What do you think changed at Sony in making this decision? It is unlikely the world will look drastically different in June. Physical sales will surely still take a hit. Did Sony have a change of heart? Are they just being hopeful? Also, do you think the change in release dates was related to the supposed story leak that leaked today? Thanks for keeping us company during the COVID craze, and happy birthday, Greg. Hope it is a great one. Amiad."
I don't think it has anything to do with the leak. I think that is just shitty coincidence, honestly. Yeah. I do think that it has to do with them. Look, we all know that it's not going to be the perfect storm scenario that they would have wanted for this game to be released. But I do think that this is evidence that they have found some type of production pipeline that they feel confident in at least getting them to a point that makes sense to actually put this product out, let alone Ghost of Tsushima the next month, right? Honestly, to me, this sounds good because I don't think these dates are going to get delayed. This sounds pretty final, and we're close enough. I mean, anything can change these days. Who the hell knows? But like, I feel good about this.
Coronavirus part two comes through, and all
exactly. But I feel pretty good about this right now, and we're close enough that I think it's actually going to happen. I think it's going to work for them because I, again, have confidence that they've figured out some type of pipeline, which makes me feel even better about the PS5 and Xbox Series X later in the year.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, if we're starting to like solve these problems now, that's good for the inevitability of there having to be that tough decision of, are the next gen consoles coming this year or not?
Yeah, I think this is definitely that this is definitely them adjusting and them kind of having time to figure things out. And I think this is going to translate to like a lot more of what you'll see during the pandemic is people figuring out what pipelines look like. You know, I think the big thing when shelter in place. Thank you. I think the big thing when shelter in place was like first put in place, right? Like that was an immediate stop, right? That was a lot of people having to work from home immediately. A lot of people having to stop what they were doing and just like leave everything where they are, right? And go home. I think now that we've been home for a while, you're seeing companies kind of adjust and be like, all right, cool. Now that this is the case and it's going to be the case indefinitely, it seems, how do we adjust? How do we make this work? How do we print copies of discs, right? Like, what does that look like? You know, where are we at in the queue in terms of things that are backed up, right? How does this look like long-term and how can we place a date based on this? I think that's what you're saying. I don't think this is a reaction to the leak that happened yesterday, which we'll talk about because that's our next news story. But I think a leak happening right last night, I don't think you can turn around and make the decision to announce a release date this morning, right? Like that's way too quick, especially because it's not like they're just announcing the last release date, right? They're also delaying Ghost of Tsushima. Those are big ships to navigate, right? Like it's hard to just change up plans like that within the span of a night. Right, based on a leak, which like you know, based on what the leak is, it's pretty dire stuff, right? Like it's heavy stuff, right? Like there are major story details leaking with The Last of Us, but like those story details don't necessarily affect sales in any way, right? Like
not in a major way. They do affect it, but like not in the way that like the internet would want to make you think, because like the story yesterday was like all the, you know, the forums were ablaze with people being like, Sony needs to release it now. It's like, that's not how games work, guys. Like,
yeah,
Final Fantasy VII demo was data mined in January, and everything was leaked from that, or most things were leaked from that. And it's like, that didn't stop Final Fantasy VII Remake from selling like hotcakes, right? Like, that just doesn't matter. What I do think, though, is while I don't think this decision was made in the last 24 hours, I wouldn't be surprised if the decision to announce it today was a reaction to the leaks. I'm not saying it is, but I think that with the way that they like just put it out there, I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that this is damage control of some sort. Instead of putting out some type of statement about the leaks, put this out, distract people with the good news,
or at least at the very least put people at ease, right? Because the thought there have been so many questions in KFGD about like, all right, now that these leaks are out, like what does The Last of Us Part 2 do? Like we there's speculation that it's going to be a PS5 launch title, all this different stuff. Like that made up maybe about 50% of the questions, you know, on today's KFGD, and this news puts pretty much everybody at ease in some sort of way, right? Like the spoilers are still going to be out there, but with this news, people are going to be like, all right, cool, at least we know that it's soon, at least we know that these spoilers aren't going to be hanging around here for the next like 7 months as we wait for The Last of Us Part 2.
Now here's a couple things though that I do want to bring up. I think that some evidence that the announcement today is in some way tied to the leak is that we didn't hear about Iron Man VR. We only heard about essentially this is Last of Us news and how Ghost of Tsushima is affected by it, right? Like until today, we didn't know that Ghost of Tsushima had a move at all. Like, that had a late June date. So now the only reason that game's being delayed, I mean, no quotes, delayed, is because of Last of Us.
Yeah.
So this tells me Sony wants Last of Us to be before Ghost for whatever reason. And on top of that, it shows me that this news isn't the full news story that they, I think, would have talked about in a state of play or in something when they had a bit more information that would have probably included Iron Man VR. This shows me that, like, all this news is tied to Last of Us, if that makes sense. Now, the other thing is, it might not be talking about Iron Man VR because that's a different can of worms in terms of production pipeline of people needing the VR system itself.
That's definitely my reaction to it with the Iron Man VR being missing, right? I think Iron Man VR being a VR title and being a title that is specifically meant to sell people on PSVR, get people out in stores to buy that game and buy the VR unit. I think a big part of that game's marketing is probably going to be demoing it in stores and having people actually, like, in Best Buy playing with Iron Man VR in a way that you cannot do right now. Right. And so that doesn't necessarily surprise me as much that they're probably undecided on it. They're probably waiting for this whole thing to kind of blow over before they really go hard with marketing Iron Man VR, because it's I'm not going to say its sole purpose is to sell the hardware, but a big part of what that game is meant to do is to sell people on the hardware. I want to pull in this tweet from at Sucker Punch Productions on Twitter, because they tweeted in regards to the delay. They said, as you may have seen, Ghost of Tsushima is moving out just a few weeks to July 17th. There have certainly been challenges in adapting to game development in a work from home environment, but thanks to an incredible effort by a worldwide team, Ghost is nearly ready for release. There are a few finishing touches to apply and bugs to squash, so we'll put these extra couple weeks to good use. We hope you are all staying safe. We can't wait for you to play, and we'll have many more details on gameplay to share very soon. Hell and yeah. So I also think it could also be like a polishing thing from the Ghost of Tsushima side, right? Like, working from home definitely impacts how those pipelines work in that way, right? Like, how quickly you're able to get things done. And so really, I think this case could come down to just a win-win for everybody in terms of Sucker Punch and Naughty Dog. I've always been of the mind that Ghost of Tsushima is probably, like, far along, if not, Ghost of Tsushima probably would have been ready to go by, like, May, I bet. But yeah, given the Last of Us delay, I think that game got pushed out because of that. But even so, right, like, working from home still doesn't help things.
Look, at the end of the day, Sony's the one making decisions on when these games come out. It's not Naughty Dog. It's not Sucker Punch. On top of that, though, Sony can say whatever they want. If the games aren't done, they're not coming out those days.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you add all this, the situation we're in, and it's just like, we're now getting, like, layers and layers where they're playing chess, but the rules of chess just keep changing. So it's like, I think that a lot has happened, but I agree with you that at the end of the day, this is going to be what's best for everyone in the long run. I will say that, like, I'm extremely excited that we're getting that June date for Last of Us, because I feel like if it were, I tweeted about this the day that the delay news happened, but if it were August or onwards, I would rather just wait for the PS5, because I know I'm going to get a PS5 when it comes out, and I'd rather the better experience with a game like Last of Us, right? Like, with my trusty PS4 Pro right here, just, you know, trying its hardest to take off into space. I don't know how it's going to handle Last of Us Part 2. I would much rather get the, you know, SSD experience with the PS5, but that is also bringing into question, does PS5 even come out this year, blah blah blah. But June, to me, I'm like, that's close enough that I'm like, fuck that. I want it now.
Yes. I want to bring in this next news story because it feeds into this one well. Story number two, beware the Last of Us Part 2 spoilers are in the wild. I'm pulling from Mike Fahey at Kotaku, who writes, the wait for Naughty Dog's indefinitely delayed sequel to The Last of Us just got a whole lot more frustrating. Footage allegedly captured from a near final build of The Last of Us Part 2 was leaked on YouTube over the weekend, causing a cascade of major plot spoilers to flood social media channels and game forums. The footage uploaded to YouTube over the weekend seems to depict gameplay in what looks like pivotal cutscenes from the eagerly anticipated game. Some of it is in English, some in German. All of the footage contains debug information in the lower left of the screen, listing level names and other data. Because of this developer-level data, some news outlets are reporting rumors that the footage was uploaded by a disgruntled Naughty Dog employee. The original uploader had their channel removed from YouTube, but not before the footage was downloaded and re-upped by other accounts. As of this writing, I can find many of the clips with a basic YouTube search. I've watched the leaked footage. If it is legitimate as it seems, it completely ruins many of the game's big reveals and twists. There's a massive spoiler thread on gaming forum Reset Era. Threads keep popping up on the game's official Reddit. I've seen several clips and spoiler posts on Twitter this morning. The internet is basically a minefield of The Last of Us Part 2 spoilers. It's a good day to learn how to filter out words and phrases from your social media and web searches, such as characters' names and the game's title. And so this has been a thing that's been going on over the last 24 hours. And I've seen plenty of people in my timeline either get spoiled or take the precautions to mute everything. This sucks. This is unfortunate. It happens, but it's horrible. It sucks.
Absolutely horrible. Like, this might be one of the biggest game leaks of all time, without the game itself actually leaking. And it's just such poor timing for all of this. I mean, obviously this wouldn't be good in any time, but I feel like this is such a, what sucks to me about this is we don't know if it's a disgruntled Naughty Dog. There's so much editorializing going on there that we just don't know the facts, but
none of that's confirmed.
You got to assume that this happened because of the work from home situation. I don't think this would have happened otherwise. There's data being sent and accessed from places that normally are not allowed to access those things. And with that, there's a lot more trust necessary from so many different avenues. And, you know, this is definitely going to, I think, be another major hurdle for developers to deal with over the next year of figuring out how this all works. And it's this type of bullshit that I think is like it's not what any of us want the priority to be for them to figure out. We want to figure out how to keep making the game and like how to get it out correctly, not how to stop people from being little bitches.
Like, this is definitely gonna suck for years to come, like when it comes to developers and their work, right? Like, there was an article we read on Games Daily, I believe, like about a month or so ago, and it was like a gamesindustry.biz article, and it was talking about how work from home is going to change in the future, probably in the games industry, right? The games industry historically doesn't have a good infrastructure as far as like what work from home looks like from big companies. I think indies is another backworms, but as far as like what it's like working at a bigger publisher or a bigger developer, a bigger game studio, right? Like, working from home oftentimes isn't really an option for whatever reason, just because the infrastructure isn't there. And the idea that everybody's kind of forced to work from home now, you know, there have been theories that like this is going to help out with that. People are going to be kind of forced to figure that infrastructure out and figure out how to make that work. And that could have good effects on the industry going forward. But cases like this really kind of take the wind out of that and really kind of make it suck for not only like Naughty Dog, right? Not only like even the higher ups, which like a lot of the theories is like, oh yeah, it's a disgruntled employee that's trying to get back at Naughty Dog for work conditions. There's not really any confirmation on that, but say that was the case, right? That doesn't just suck for higher ups. That also sucks for fellow employees that worked hard in this game, that want to see this game do well, that want to see their work received in the right way at the right time. Sucks for them. It sucks for the industry as a whole. That is, you know, working towards better work conditions. You know,
it sucks
even
for like, gamers. You know, like
sucks for,
like,
yeah, it sucks for your audience
sucks,
too.
It sucks for people like us that have been waiting years for this game, and you know, like for a game that is so focused on narrative and story structure, like and character, like I don't want to know what the fuck happens in this game until I'm playing it and experiencing it. Like, that is tied to what the game is, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I want to bring in this question from KDG, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. She writes, waking up to see The Last of Us Part 2 has leaked was very sad. Luckily, I've avoided spoilers so far, but I have several questions about it. One, how is Kind of Funny going to handle reporting this? I guess you'll talk about the leak in general, but not the content, but will any of you watch it? Two, as a fan, I definitely don't want to see the leaked footage, but with so many trolls online seeking to spread spoilers, is it better to at least experience them in-game rather than just reading about it, especially when it could, when it could be months before we even get a release date? 3, do you think this changes the new Last of Us Part 2 plans, which we've kind of already gotten the update on that? Finally, a PSA, everyone wanting to avoid spoilers should be careful going into Reddit comments and messages, and not just the ones about The Last of Us. Consider hiding Facebook pages and do whatever Twitter users do to hide keywords. And for KFGD, are you going to do anything? Are you going to be doing anything differently to avoid trolls in your wrong, especially for today? So let's start from number one, right? How is Kind of Funny going to handle reporting this? You know, we're talking about it in general, right? None of us have seen the spoilers. And I don't think any of us plan to like really go out and seek those spoilers. I'm already of the mind that I'm going to be spoiled at some point. But I think for us, we're kind of in a position where we're more likely to be spoiled, especially like me and Greg, since we're on a PlayStation podcast. Trolls and whoever are going to try to do that. And I've just accepted that it's going to happen. And so like, even if it happens, I'm not gonna be mad about it. Like, whatever. I love The Last of Us. I'm looking forward to Last of Us Part 2, but I'm not going to let story spoilers ruin the game for me. Like, if I know what happens, I know what happens. But yeah, we're just going to talk about it as it happens. We're not going to talk about spoilers at all on the shows. But then yeah, for number two, as a fan, I definitely don't understand what it is, but with so many trolls online seeking to spread spoilers, is it better to at least experience them in game rather than just reading about it, especially when it could be months before we even get a release date? Tim, do you have any thoughts on that one? Like, it's an interesting question as far as like, is it better to watch the spoilers, I guess, than to read them out of context?
I mean, I think it's just a weird thing where it's like, sure. Like, I would just avoid it. Unless you don't care, and then consume it however you think is going to be the best experience for you. Like, if you really are just like, I can't avoid these, like I don't even want to try to avoid them, maybe reading them would be better for you than watching the video, because at least that way you're not like seeing the experience, that when you experience it for yourself, you're at least like, huh. Because I know, yeah, like, this actually, it happens a lot with like Marvel movies, or not even just Marvel, like big blockbuster movies, Star Wars, Marvel, whatever. Spoilers will come out. And it's like, oh, the full plot is out. And people are reading it. And all the comments online are like, this is absolute trash. This sounds horrible. And then it's Endgame. And you watch it. And you're like, oh, my God, this is fucking awesome. And all those people are like, oh, I was fucking wrong. Not all of them. You never talk in absolutes like that. But yeah. You get what I'm saying. I think it's the same type of situation. But if you want to see it for yourself, you can see it for yourself. I'm not going to do that because I want to play it for myself the first time. Spoilers suck, man. And the people that want to like ruin people's day with spoilers, you're the scum of the earth. That's all that it is. Like,
yeah.
And if that's what gets you off, like, hey, I have nothing
better. Like, my whole thing is just do what's best for you, right? Like, if you feel like watching the spoilers is going to protect you from reading the spoilers, like, because you get to see them in context, then like, go for it. Just as long as you're not spoiling anything for anybody else, just keep it to yourself. Right, that's like my big thing, is just keep it to yourself. You know, no, you don't need to talk about it. You don't need to make threads about it. But yeah, like, do what you gotta do. I'm of the same mind as Tim as far as like reading a spoiler and seeing a thing in context, I think is way different. Like, again, if I read a spoiler that said like says like a character does a thing, right? Seeing the character do the thing is probably gonna be more impactful, or seeing the context around that thing is probably going to still make that experience special in a way that just reading on paper, like X character dies or X character comes back to life or X character does whatever. Like, who cares, right? Like, I watched enough Walking Dead and enough movies and shows that do have characters die or come back or do whatever, that like I don't know, man. I don't necessarily care that much, you know, about X character dying, because I probably could have guessed whatever the spoiler is, if I'm reading it out of context.
It just, what sucks to me is like, I truly feel like spoiler culture, like there's a responsibility to everybody to like protect themselves if they care about that stuff. And what just sucks about this is the timeline on that is like just stretched out so long that it's like not fair to those people. Like, if once Last of Us were to come out, it's on you to protect yourself from spoilers. It's out. You have access to playing it. And if you don't have access to playing it for whatever means, you need to figure that out. This is unfair to everybody because it's not on them to, they have no access to it. You have no access to be able to experience this game yet. Does that make sense? Yeah. And it's just like that to me is like, man, y'all fuckers.
Yeah. And then as far as kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, right? Like when I'm hosting, I tend to like right now there's somebody in You're Wrong who's trying to spoil The Last of Us Part Two, right? Like I tend to read them before I say them aloud. And so I'm gonna make sure, you know, I'm doing an extra good job reading Your Wrongs before I actually say them aloud. But once again, like I've already resolved that I'm going to be spoiled. Like that's not a thing that I'm worried about at this point. That's a thing that I'm like, it's gonna happen, right? And Greg does a similar thing where he, as the show goes, Greg goes through Your Wrong and like edits them out, so that when we get there, it's easier to read. But you know, we already get like a lot of stuff in You're Wrong, and we already get like a lot of trolls in You're
it's
Wrong.
So, it's so easy to look at You're Wrong and see what's bullshit and what's not. So
yeah,
just letting you know.
Yeah, and so we're vigilant about that stuff. So you don't have to worry about us reading anything out in You're Wrong. The Nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com. So it's kind of funny games. It says, "Hi, Bless, and happy birthday, Greg. So simple question. Do you think the release date announced for The Last of Us Part 2 is a response to the major leak? If not, then why didn't PlayStation announce this less than a month delay instead of delaying it indefinitely? The latter makes it sound like it'd become a fall or 2021 game and not just a couple weeks later than expected. It just seems odd and very reactionary over being coincidental to me. Thanks, The Nanobiologist."
Hmm.
I mean, I think you announced it as indefinite just because you've delayed The Last of Us Part 2 before, right? Where the world is in a state where everything's kind of up in the air. And yeah. I honestly don't think they were of the mind that they were going to release it a month later as of the time they delayed it. I think they really were like, hey, we just don't know. And so we are going to just make this indefinite in case we do want to make the decision to either make this a PlayStation 5 game or a 2021 game or whatever. But I think over the weeks they probably came together and they were like, okay, no, we know what we want to do with this. We want to go business as planned. You of course got to talk to Sucker Punch Studios, right? As PlayStation, you need to have that conversation with Sucker Punch and Naughty Dog to figure out where these games are going to land, right? There's a lot of conversations being had and a lot of things to figure out. And I think them delaying it indefinitely, I think that was them making the decision that had to be made and then figuring it out as they were going.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with production than anything. And I think that the indefinite was them knowing that they weren't in a place that they were going to hit the date that they originally had. And they're just like, we want to be as soon as possible after that, but it can't be until we're ready. And this sounds like a good time for them to do it.
Let's move on to story number 3. WWE 2K Battlegrounds is this year's WWE game. I'm pulling this from Christopher Dring at gamesindustry.biz, who writes, and Kevin, actually, as I'm reading this, there's a trailer that it'd be cool if we were able to watch that after we read the story. The story goes, 2K Games has named Patrick Gilmore as its new executive producer for the WWE series. The appointment follows criticism of last year's WWE 2K20, which received a strong negative reaction from consumers and press, with PlayStation even issuing refunds. 2K has confirmed recent reports that there will not be a WWE 2K21 this year, as it takes extra time to make a game that delivers on quality and fun. However, there will be a wrestling game this Christmas in the form of WWE 2K Battlegrounds. The publisher describes game as an over-the-top experience, and it's being developed by Saber Interactive, which is the team behind NBA 2K Playground series. Last year's WWE game was the first title entirely developed by NBA 2K creators Visual Concepts, following the departure of long-term franchise developer Yuke's. Gilmore will be part of the Visual Concepts team. He has spent 25 years in video games, having worked on Disney's Aladdin for Sega Genesis and Mega Drive, Killer Instinct, Medal of Honor, and has most recently worked at Amazon on the game New World. In an open letter to fans, 2K said, quote, "We want to address WWE 2K20. We've heard and appreciate your feedback and continue to listen to you closely. Since launch, we've released 5 title updates addressing hundreds of reported concerns and have released 4 WWE 2K20 original DLC expansions to build on and improve the expansions or the experience. We've also heard your request to keep the WWE 2K19 servers running. They'll remain active for the time being. All that being said, we hear you and we know you want more from the franchise. So here's what we're going to do. We're applying what we've learned to the next WWE 2K simulation game with a renewed focus on quality and fun. As part of that commitment, we are we are extending the production timeline and will not be releasing a WWE 2K simulation game in 2020. We want to ensure the development team at Visual Concepts can create a great game that will entertain grizzled WWE 2K veterans, as well as newcomers who want to climb through the ropes and step into the ring for the first time, end quote. 2K also reaffirmed its commitment to the WWE Supercard series, which is currently in its sixth season. The letter concluded, quote, 2K and WWE are reaffirming a long-term commitment to expand the WWE games family in ways that directly benefit you, the fans. We are taking the time we need to deliver the quality you deserve, while at the same time offering new experiences and ways to have fun with the WWE superstars you love. And that's the bottom line, because 2K said so, end quote.
There you go. There you go. So here's the thing, man. 2K20 obviously was a dumpster fire, and everybody knows it. I'm happy
a
that
huge dumpster fire.
Are acknowledging it, taking it on the chin, and being like, hey, we're not putting out a game this year. We're trying to make it even better for next year. We understand. We need to do this right. All that stuff's good. Then they announced this Battlegrounds game. In theory, this is what kind of, at least a step towards, what people want from a wrestling game, which is fun, more old school style, just arcadey stuff. The playground games have been cool, the NBA games, right?
Yep.
So all of this sounds like it should be a good thing. There was WWE All-Stars that came out last gen that was like, this seems like a pseudo sequel to.
Yeah.
Which is cool, kind of over the top, stylized, all that stuff. But before we watch this trailer, I just want to let everyone know, I'm getting major Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 vibes from this, where you look at it and just like, oh, not like this. Not like
this. Nice. No, legit. Let press play on the trailer, Kevin, because people need to see. The Rock's face doesn't look right.
Get rid of the audio, Kevin. Yeah, I'm just worried about a copyright strike on that one.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Fuck approved this?
For audio listeners, right, it is very much like it looks like NBA Jam characters wrestling.
But squished. I don't understand the thought process on the proportions of these characters.
Like, the proportions are cartoony for sure, but they're cartoony in a way where it's like, y'all really like went hard. Like, y'all really kind of went, I know the style is supposed to be over the top, but they might have pushed things too far in certain ways.
I agree.
Some of these characters look kind of odd.
Who's this supposed to be?
That's Charlotte. That's supposed to be Charlotte Flair.
And yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of look like little people.
Yeah, it's
a little bit.
It's an interesting
it's
choice.
Such an interesting choice.
But yeah,
like The Rock. Toward the beginning. When they zoom in on his face, like, go a little bit forward. There we go.
Yeah, right there.
Look at that. He looks lifeless.
Yeah, it's like, and I mean, here's the thing. If you're going to go with the style, like, at least add some style. Like, this gives me vibes of the Fast and Furious Crossroads trailer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, for sure. And this is definitely, like, I'm sure this was rushed, right? Given the timeline of everything. And yeah, this definitely looks like it's rushed. But I mean, I watched some like reaction videos this morning to this, and some folks out there seem very excited. And so I'm sure this has an audience that's going to appreciate it. And like, I'm sure the people that loved All-Stars are probably going to enjoy this somewhat. NBA Playgrounds, right, was a game that, or there are two of those games now, but NBA Playgrounds, I think, found an audience and was fine, right? Like, I played it and I didn't love it, but if this works for some people, I think that's all it's meant to do while we wait for the next 2K game.
That just sucks, though, man. This should work for more than some people. And I feel like, yeah, everything you just said is right. However, this is a rush job. And it's like, there's no getting around that. Like, I highly doubt that this game's going to get eights.
No.
And that sucks. Because it should. It shouldn't be that hard to make
I don't know if 2K Playgrounds got, like, NBA 2K Playgrounds. I don't think that got eights. Did it?
I think it did. I could be wrong, but I think I might look that up.
But yeah, this definitely strikes me as a thing that is going to get people by. It makes me wonder, though, what is next year's 2K22, I guess? Yeah, 2K22 going to look like. I'm trying to look up NBA Playgrounds on Metacritic. I don't think it has a Metacritic page. I don't know if it has a Metacritic page.
It does on PlayStation 4. It got... Its Metacritic is a 68, but... It got some sevens. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the... No, this is also a PS4 page. I'm looking at a page that says 73. And so I think there's multiple pages where I don't know what's going on here. But That I expect this to hit around like the 65 mark on Metacritic. You know,
man, I don't know. I mean, I think it will, but I think it's bullshit. It's so this. I hate this. I don't like this news at all, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, fun arcade wrestling game. Wrestling is awesome. It should be cool. This doesn't look cool.
I think this news is great from the stance that there's been bullshit from WWE 2K over the last couple of years, right? Like 2K20, we all know was a garbage truck on fire, and not in the good ways. When we think of a garbage truck on fire, in their press release right here, where they're giving quotes, they're talking about the new leadership over 2K or WWE 2K, right? Like they're being open and transparent in a way that I appreciate. But then also, like, yeah, they're showing the next steps, right? They're saying, hey, we're taking a break this year because we saw that 2K20 wasn't good. We're putting out this game to make up for that. But then next year, we are revamping in some way or coming back with 2K22, and it is going to be what you kind of expect from this franchise. I think at the very least, that's a good statement.
But that's transparent. But it's like, you know what would be better? Hey, we're taking a year off to work on this thing. We're not gonna put shovel out bullshit just to like keep things going. Like, here, I have a question for anybody watching this right now. Does this game excite any of you? But then the follow up question is, if you're excited about this, don't you wish it was something else instead, though? Like, really? Let me know. Please write in.
I got a question from BJ Bernardo, who writes into patreon.com. So it's kind of funny. He's just like, you can. And says, hi, y'all. Follow up to my Friday question. Is WWE 2K Battlegrounds something that interests you or something that gets you hype? I feel like they tried this before with WWE All-Stars, but that didn't really go anywhere. Is the ridiculous, over-the-top, hyper-realism gameplay what the wrestling, what the gaming wrestling world needs to revitalize itself? Are we ready? Do we not know? Does our ass need to call somebody? Can we dig it? Sucka. Thanks, BJ Bernardo. BJ Bernardo has been rocking it with the questions. Shout out to BJ. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Tim, that this doesn't do anything for me. Maybe it depends on how much if this comes out and it's like $10, I doubt it will be. I don't know how much the 2K Playground games were, but if this comes out and it's like $10, I might give it a shot and we'll see.
It's gonna be a $20 game.
Yeah, I think 2K Playgrounds, NBA Playgrounds came out around that. And so that's kind of what I expect from this also. But we'll see, Tim.
Yeah.
We'll see. Story number four. Google abandons Stadia-based branding as it launches its free tier. I'm pulling this from Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz, who writes, even though Google has effectively launched its free tier of Stadia, Stadia-based, it's no longer calling it that. Earlier this month, Google announced it would offer two months of Stadia Pro, which is normally a paid subscription service costing $9.99 per month. As a part of that announcement, Google added that games purchased as a free part as a part of the free Stadia trial would remain accessible even for users who cancel their subscriptions after the two-month free period. Users signing up for Google Stadia also now have an additional option at the end of the process, allowing them to opt out of the two-month Stadia Pro trial and simply begin purchasing games through Stadia without signing up for Pro at all.
Let me stop you right here.
What up?
This is way too convoluted. Google Stadia, figure your shit out.
Oh yeah, dude, that's pretty much the whole purpose of this article. Let me continue. Google has additionally confirmed that to gamesindustry.biz that users who let subscriptions lapse will still be able to purchase new games for Stadia, play them, and will have the resolution capped at 1080p as originally stated for Stadia Base, with pro subscribers able to play games in 4K. However, while Stadia Base exists now in spirit, last week Google shared in a community blog post that it had, quote, decided to move away from the nomenclature of Stadia Base entirely. Quote, we're very excited for that Stadia is now free and open to everyone who wants to create an account in our supported markets, reads the post.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, mm-hmm. very little changes, but now it's just Stadia, which is free, and Stadia Pro, which costs money.
Yes.
Cool.
And they bungled the messaging of that. It's pretty much this whole story. Yeah. Right? And I don't even know as of now if you can just go directly to just base Stadia, right? If I just want to do Stadia, I don't know if you have to do the 2 month pro subscription. That's like the thing that's kind of missing in the puzzle for me. Cause the way the story talks about, right, it's talking about how for the 2 month trial of Stadia, Stadia Pro, once you're done with that then transitions you to regular Stadia. I don't get if that's a thing that everybody has to do if you want access to just Stadia or if you're just able to sign up for Stadia. Kind of funny.com/you're wrong if you have clarification on that.
I mean, it says we're excited the state is now free and open to anyone who wants to create an account. So I imagine you can just go and get the Stadia free if you wanted to without the trial. That would just be silly, because why not get the trial? Yeah. I'm excited for tomorrow's Kinect. Maybe they do some type of honing in of messaging
of what this is.
Making it worth it, but not likely.
Let's talk about the Stadia Connect. Story number 5. There's a Stadia Connect happening tomorrow. I'm pulling this from Chris Moyes at Destructoid, who writes, Google has announced that it will host its newest Stadia Connect live stream presentation next week. Next week means tomorrow. The stream will be available to watch via YouTube and goes live Tuesday, April 28th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Google released very little detail regarding the upcoming showcase, but did tease that it would feature, quote, a few new games headed to the fledgling streaming service, which went live back in November 2019. In recent news, Google finally launched the free version of Stadia, previously monikered Stadia Base, earlier this month, while the paid Stadia Pro service is currently offering a free month or free 2-month trial period to new customers or new subscribers. Tim, what do you expect from the Stadia Connect tomorrow?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, a few new games they're talking about, so that's cool. Like, I wonder if we're going to, I doubt we're going to get anything substantial, but maybe. Like, you know, we got Baldur's Gate from the last one that they did. And like, while that doesn't speak to me, it definitely speaks to a ton of other people. So I think that we can probably expect games of that caliber to be announced. The fact that they're even doing this at all, they're committing to this product still. Like, it's not over yet. So I think that this, I don't expect this to be the thing that turns it all around, but hopefully this is a good step towards clearing things up and making Stadia an actual viable product.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, but I'm not necessarily like expecting. Like, Stadia is in a very unfortunate place right now, because xCloud is a thing that exists and is only going to get better once they open that up. And Stadia, from the get-go, has just had bungled messaging and just weirdness all around it, right? Like, the launch lineup was mediocre. Doom Eternal got delayed, which really put a damper on what that launch lineup looked like. And then people just haven't been talking about it, right? People just haven't been talking about Stadia in a great way, right?
Well, like, when they do talk about it, it's bad.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I've not heard anybody really praise Stadia that much, given what it is, right? It doesn't seem like a service that is comparable to like other streaming services that are coming out, like xCloud.
That's kind of the biggest problem, is I feel like, you know, xCloud in all of its betas so far has been a major success. People are talking very positively about it. It's not perfect, but people are very up on it. Then there was the NVIDIA one. I forget the name of it, but the GeForce Now, I think it was.
Yeah.
That's happened. It. And like, all the bad news about that is just, you know, people pulling out of it, but it worked. Like, people were stoked about it when it was working with the Activision games and all that before they got taken off. Whereas with Stadia, it's like, things aren't working. Like, yeah, that's a major problem when you are currently the not only biggest of the competitors out there doing it, but you're also like the ones that are going full in on it, like, as your only means of putting the games out there. Yeah, I don't know.
As a thought experiment, what did Google Stadia come out and announce tomorrow that changes our minds on it?
I don't think anything, honestly. I think that it's nothing to change minds tomorrow, but it's about, again, moving towards being able to change minds in the future. And I don't know what that looks like, but I think it is just about clearing up messaging and making the base product look like a worthwhile thing that I feel like what they really need to do is just make it seem like it's a free thing that works. If they can nail that, then have all the pro features kind of be like a, if you're in, you're in, you get that. But no, we're focusing on the free service. That, I think, would be the right move.
Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think it tomorrow needs to be them coming out and being like, all right, like, I don't think they need to like give the spiel of like, we know that Google Stadia hasn't been what it's chalked up to be or whatever. Like, they don't need to come out and say that, because
just come out and be like, here's what we're doing to fix it.
Yeah, like, just come out and be like, okay, here are 10 games that are coming to Google Stadia, and let the 10 games be bangers and show them off in ways that sell us on it, and, you know, make us understand what's going on. Make us understand like what your marketing thing is for this, because right now, like, the whole Google the Stadia base versus Stadia thing was kind of a bungled, it was bungled messaging. Come out and just be clear about it, and really sell people on what's the services. Because right now, like, they're not really doing that in any sort of way. And then our last story, story number six, Bethesda is donating $1 million toward COVID-19 relief efforts. I'm pulling this directly from Bethesda's blog. They write, with the impact of this health crisis being so great and widespread, we want to help by donating to an array of international and local charities, which are directly involved with COVID-19 relief efforts. We plan to donate $1 million to the following frontline organizations. $500,000 will be given to Direct Relief, a charity which is directly involved in COVID-19 relief efforts, including the critically important work of providing personal protective equipment to healthcare workers. $250,000 will go to UNICEF, which partners with frontline responders around the world to keep children and families safe and protected. And then $250,000 will be donated to local COVID-19 relief efforts within the communities where we work and live. These recipients will be chosen by our individual studios and international offices. This way, we can support worthy charities fighting COVID-19 in our local communities across the world. As we continue to stay home, we're committed to finding ways to connect with our fans, fellow gamers, and local communities through hashtag Bethesda at Home campaign. We'll be streaming from our home offices, and we'll offer you the opportunity to help out the same charities we're supporting. Check out Bethesda.net or our social channels for updated stream schedules, or tune into twitch.tv/Bethesda. Whether it's playing games, watching streams, or however you're choosing to stay active during these challenging times, we encourage you to find ways to stay connected to others while we continue to observe social distancing guidelines in an effort to keep everyone safe and healthy. Tim.
Good guy, Bethesda, man. Good stuff. Love to see it. Love to see it.
Yeah, love to see it. Shout out to Bethesda. These are great decisions, and it's great whenever we see big game companies do this. We've been seeing it a lot lately. Mm-hmm. It's awesome to see companies continue to do it. Tim, I'm very excited to see when the next company donates $1 million to COVID-19 relief efforts. Yeah. But that's hopefully not so far away. If I want to know what's coming out now to garment shops, to mom and grop shops, God, I can't.
Garment shops.
To grop shops today. Where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Before I get to out today, I'm going to take a drink of water, and then I'm going to read our sponsor. Because
there you go. Do it, man. I love it, Bless. Drink that water.
Yeah, man. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. Speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Old Spice. This episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is sponsored by Old Spice Pomade, Old Spice Putty, and Old Spice Styling Gel, because great hair always wins. Your hair says a lot about you, and with Old Spice Pomade, you can make it say the right thing. Tim has been using Old Spice Pomade for a while now, and he loves the look of it and the hold he gets from it. Also, it smells really good, and Gia likes that.
It's true, man. Pomade. Here's the thing. I've been using this for the entire time we've been at home. I've been using this here pomade, and I'm loving it a lot. I'm loving the hold that it's giving my hair. I have more hair than ever right now, just because it's harder to cut it on the top. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's, holding nice. It's making my hair look like I normally like to have it, which is fantastic. But something I didn't expect to get out of this was Gia noticed the smell. She's like, I like the smell of this. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you very much. So, hey. I'm getting some like unexpected pros out of this one.
Thank you, Old Spice. Old Spice pomade with medium hold gives your hair a clean cut matte finish. It says things like, I'm late for a very important dinner/video meeting to strike very important business deals with very important business folks. It's classic Tim stuff. Again, Tim uses it. I can tell you right now, I'm looking at Tim right now on the monitor. Tim looks amazing.
Thank you. Thank you Tim very much. Specifically the hair, though.
Specifically the hair. I mean,
no, real talk. I love how easy this is to use, where it just lets me get my hair where I want it. You know, that's always like kind of the thing I struggle with the most, but I've been having a good time with it.
Again, thank you, Old Spice, for sponsoring this video. Try Old Spice Pomade, Old Spice Putty, or Old Spice Styling Gel. Let us know how that hold works for you. Or let us know the hold that works best for you. Old Spice hair pomade. Great hair always wins.
It's true, and I'm a winner.
Out today, we got Mosquitoes and Zombies for PC. Adapt a Tank for PC, Deranged for PC, Wasted World for PC, Shattered Hourglass for PC, and then Knock Harder for PC. New days for you. The Last of Us Part 2 is coming out on PS4 on June 19th, and then Ghost of Tsushima is coming out on PS4 on July 17th. Now it's time for reader mail. Of course, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get your questions on the show. We read your questions on the show. Everybody has a good time. Lord of Pwn wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "What's up with this Mick Gordon Doom Eternal soundtrack and Bethesda/id Software beef? Could the next Doom game really not have Mick working on the soundtrack? And how did the official soundtrack release end up so badly?" Related articles that I haven't seen mentioned on KFGD yet. He sends in some articles for us to check out. Tim, have you been following this at all? The Mick Gordon versus Bethesda thing?
Very lightly. I just know that, you know, everybody, he's renowned. Everyone loves the music from the Doom games. Then when they put out the soundtrack, the mix was horrible, which doesn't make sense for how much care they put into it typically. And it sounds like there's beef now between them. So that's not fun.
Yeah. So to add some context, yes, like Mick Gordon has worked on both Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal. Both the soundtracks have been phenomenal, but Doom Eternal, If you compare Doom 2016 to Doom Eternal does have some weird mixing to it. And so much so that, like, you've seen people point it out on the internet, right? Like, I'm looking at a tweet from that AC/DC guy. They tweeted, "Here's a comparison between the original BFG division from Doom 2016 official soundtrack and then BFG 2020 remix on Doom Eternal soundtrack." And he tweets images of the Audacity files. And if you look at the image of the Doom 2016 like wave spectrum, right, the audio spectrum, the wavelengths have like way more definition and way more like variation to them versus the 2020 Doom Eternal BFG division song, which seems very like
compressed,
kind of flat, yeah, compressed and kind of flat in its waves. And like apparently Mick Gordon didn't get to mix this one, is like the big thing. And you've seen there have been quotes and like tweets and Facebook messages from him kind of talking about his displeasure with this, right? Like there's one person I guess that AC/DC guy also tweeted, "Mick Gordon is a far more talented audio engineer than me. It's not even close, and that's what makes this especially frustrating. I expect much better from him. Again, the music itself is phenomenal, but this mix on the official soundtrack is frankly terrible." And then Mick Gordon on Twitter replied to him saying, "I didn't mix those and wouldn't have done that. You'll be able to spot the small handful of tracks I mixed being Meat Hook, Command and Control, etc." And then I also saw, this has been a thing that's been breaking over the last week, and I didn't include it in news because the way in which it's been breaking has been kind of weird. Because I first saw like a screenshot of a Facebook message from Mick Gordon, somebody talking to him, and I couldn't tell if it was real or not, but it seems like it's legit. Of somebody asking about the Bethesda soundtrack and him responding like, "I don't think me and Bethesda are gonna be working together anymore on Doom," like stuff like that. It's unfortunate. I don't understand how this came to be. Like, I don't know if maybe it was a budget thing, they didn't want Mick to mix it for that, or if they just were rushing the game, or what the situation was. But yeah, it seems pretty unfortunate if Mick doesn't want to work again with the Doom team, because he's produced bangers. Like Doom 2016 is one of the best soundtracks of this gen by far. And I'd even say the same thing for Doom Eternal. But yeah, like It's a weird situation. It's an unfortunate situation, really. Totally. Like, it just seems like it's one of those things where it's just beef, and beef happens. And overall, it's not good. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. That's where you write in. Let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong. Nanobiologist writes in and says, "I just made a Stadia account. You can decline the pro 2 free month trial when making a new account. So thanks for verifying that for us, Nanobiologist." And that's our only You're Wrong for today.
Fantastic.
See that?
Stuff.
See that? You don't have to worry about them trolls. This week's hosts are as follows. Tuesday, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and me. And then Friday, me and Tim return.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Tim, did you watch the show on Friday? Because I thought of a new nickname for you. I didn't want to test.
Oh, you know what's funny? I tuned in just for this bit, so I did see this.
Yeah, Timothy De La Geddes.
De La Geddes. I kind of love it. It is, you know, a little too close to Timothy De La Ghetto.
It is,
The former. Well,
but he's changed his name now.
Yeah, to Chata Go Wrong Sue, or Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
legendary YouTuber. God, I legendary fucking love that guy.
He's on Wild Now. I don't know if he's still on Wild Now.
He is. He is. He is. Is he? He is. Yeah. He's as OG as it gets.
Yes, and so I might. We'll see. We'll see how that nickname goes.
Cool Greg used to call me that back in the day.
Did he really?
Timothy Delaghetti's. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Totally based off of Timothy Delaghetto, though. So
that's perfect.
Yeah, but I appreciate it.
Remember, the Google Stadia Connect reaction is happening tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. I'm reacting to it live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're also doing our second sponsored Predator Hunting Ground stream, so make sure to tune in for that tomorrow, 2 p.m. Pacific time. We're hunting down Al, Tribesman, the Predator, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
So funny.
And then this week, this Wednesday afternoon, Gamescast is recording. I believe this Gamescast, we're talking about our predictions that we made earlier in the year.
Yeah, the predictions.
Giving our updates.
We made, I think it was in January, all me, you, Imran, Greg, all did our predictions. Now we're going to look at those predictions and see how wrong we are because of all this, the situation going on.
Yeah. Are we going to update them, or are we just going to just take a look?
Yeah. The idea is we're going to go through them all and see, like, just as a group, one by one, go through and like see how likely those predictions still are. And then at the end of it, we're just going to throw in some new updated ones of seeing kind of where we think things are going to be, even though we are just shooting in the dark.
Sick. And that episode will be available later in the week on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.